From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the world's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Thank you, Cleveland, WTAM, huge number one. And I'll just talk about a few more throughout the week, and then that shall be it. Two surprise guests for you tonight for the first 2 hours. Nancy Leader back from Zeta Talk. She channels. And we're going to talk with her about some amazing things that are going on. And then in the last 2 hours, he's back, David Booth. He's the one who had some incredible dreams about a plane crash at O'Hare Airport, an American Airlines flight that killed 271 people back in 1979. He had been on the program before. He is back again. We'll explain all of that a little bit later on when David Booth is on. Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama, a U.S. senator from Illinois, has been placed under protection of the Secret Service. The government is not aware of any specific credible threat against him, according to a law enforcement source. But the campaign has apparently received hate mail, calls, and other threatening materials in the past and during his campaign. The Republicans debated tonight, by the way. Wally Schirra, who was one of the original Mercury 7 astronauts, combined the right stuff, the textbook perfect flying ability, and steel nerves, has died at the age of 84. He was the only astronaut to fly in all three of NASA's original manned spaceflight programs, Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo. Although he never walked on the moon, Schirra laid some of the groundwork that made the lunar landings possible and won the space race for the United States. At the time, Richard C. Hoagland was a consultant for Walter Cronkite in CBS News. He's got some great stories about Wally Schirra. Hey, Richard, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thank you, George. This is kind of a sad day. I got the news this morning from a friend of mine, and I immediately went to the web, and sure enough, it was true. Wally was 84. I think he died last night sometime during your show, and NASA released the information this morning. One of the stories that I have, which is vivid in my mind, is after Apollo 11, we at CBS were all getting ready for Apollo 12, and I remember standing up in the green room off the studio where we had various guests for these things in November of 1969, a few months after Apollo 11, and we were waiting for word on the successful Apollo 12 touchdown, Pete Conrad and Alan Bean, and as we were kind of waiting, you know, Schirra once told me that, you know, spaceflight, being an astronaut, was kind of like, you know, hours and hours and days and years of interminable boredom punctuated by moments of stark terror. So we were in the boredom phase waiting for Apollo 12 to land. So one of our guests was a guy, a friend of mine from Houston named Paul Gast, who was a member of the Lunar Sample Analysis Team at the Lunar Receiving Laboratory in Houston. So we're upstairs in this green room, and it's Cronkite and me and a couple of the correspondents and Schirra and Paul Gast, and I forget who else. And Paul said, would anybody like to hold a moon rock? And we all went, and we formed this circle. It was almost like one of these weird magical circles. Cronkite and Schirra and me and the other guys and Paul, and he took these little vials out of his hand, out of his coat pocket, and he put in our palms, or upturned palms, these little pieces of moon rock that had come from the moon just a couple of months before from Apollo 11, from Neil and Buzz being down on the moon, and each of us passed it from one to the other in this little silent ritual. And I remember standing there holding a piece of the moon, George, and I looked over at Wally Schirra. And at that point, we thought we might get missions beyond 17,
yeah,
and he was going to command maybe the last lunar mission. And I remember watching him as he reacted to this, because he was as awestruck as anybody else, the guy who'd done everything. Lawrence Dunkelman, an old friend of mine at Goddard, had told me when Wally joined the Mercury program back during his Mercury flight, he said the whole space program took a huge leap forward because Wally was such an incredible guy. He was a sharp guy. He was a funny guy. He was a technical guy, but he was an ordinary guy who could explain things so that engineers could actually understand what the astronauts needed. Anyway, I'm watching him hold this moon rock in his palm of his hand, and he's kind of looking at all of us, And it was like he was about an inch or two bigger than his suit. It was an incredible impression, George, and I realized at that moment, in a flash, why these guys were astronauts, and I wasn't.
They have the right stuff.
They sure had, and Wally had the hell of the right stuff, and he is very missed tonight.
I used to remember him sitting next to Cronkite during...
Well, he was our guy. He was our astronaut on, you know, when we had Arthur Clarke, and we had Wally, and we had Robert Heinlein, who I brought in, and... But Wally was the Mr. Astronaut for Walter on any technical question, and he was so capable of, I mean, he actually should have been someone to run for political office because he could be both real, he could explain complicated things, mm-hmm. He had very clear vision.
He was good.
And he was a hell of a nice guy.
Very quickly, yesterday, the freight train that was carrying some shuttle parts derailed in Alabama. You've got some more information on that?
Well, it's looking now, and I don't want to use the S word inconsequentially, but it's looking now that maybe we're not looking at an accident here. It turns out that only less than a week before, last Friday, 60 miles outside of Kansas, Salina, Kansas, two trucks, there are these big wheels on railroad cars are called trucks, came off the rails for some inexplicable reason. And this is the only two shuttle train accidents that they've had in the entire history of the shuttle program, and they're in two separate states, two separate trains, back-to-back. It looks like maybe somebody is targeting the shuttle program for reasons that we don't have time to get into tonight, but we should keep our eyes on this.
Okay, thank you, Richard, and thank you for the fine things you said about Wally Schirra. Richard C. Hoagland, EnterpriseMission.com. Wally Schirra, one of the original Mercury 7 astronauts. I remember as a boy, I have that picture of those seven dead at the age of 84. Well, the French-led Corot Space Telescope has found its very first planet, a very hot world bigger than Jupiter, passing in front of a far-off star. The spacecraft was launched on December 27th of last year and is the first to hunt for Earth-like planets from space. The Corot scientists said that they found this planet, and it is significantly exceeding pre-launch expectations with this telescope. The new body is called Corot XO1b, can be found 1,500 light years away. Now, that's compared to the planet they just found also that is 20 light years away. This one is 1,500 light years away in the constellation of Monoceros. That's a long way away. In a moment, Nancy Leader, our special guest on Coast to Coast AM. And you might want to get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at some of the pictures we're posting here. Nancy Leader is a computer professional. She left the West Coast in 1999 and moved to the Midwest. She claims to be an enhanced contactee. She can speak telepathically with aliens from Zeta Reticuli. Nancy says the Zetas have revealed to her information about life on other worlds, the ET origins, the human species, the Zeta-human hybrid program, its reasons, methods, political science of the cosmos, the WHO rules and the rules of engagement protocols. And she's just been a regular guest on Coast to Coast, been away for a long time, a couple of years. And she is back. Her return. The imminent return of Nancy Leader and maybe also the extra planet. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Good to
well,
hear your voice.
George, you guys have had a picture of Planet X on your website, unbeknownst to you, since, I don't know, a couple of months now. It's called Fire in the Sky. Somebody notified me by email and said, is this Planet X? And I was astonished. It's one of the best photos. It was a very clear sky. Guy was walking Delaware Beach just ahead of dawn, and the sun can be seen coming up, the light of the sun to the left. The moon is in the sky, and there, just offset from the moon, is Planet X shrouded in dust. A perfect shot.
It's not the moon that we thought, huh?
It's not the moon. The moon is there. You can see the moon.
Yeah.
And there's no chemtrails. You know why they're fogging up the sky with chemtrails. They don't want you to see that orb, which is usually sighted just a little bit to the right of the sun on rising and setting is the best time because that's when orange light kind of bends and the sun itself gets larger. And likewise, Planet X would be appear if the light is bouncing off of it correctly, would appear. And people have been sending me emails saying, I'm beginning to see the second sun again, you know, rising and setting. So that's why the increase in chemtrails fogging up the skies, they do not want you noticing that orb. But if you want to see what they don't want you to see, go and look, folks. Fire in the sky. And I'm hoping that Lex puts a link in directly to that page. It was the best. And the guy didn't know what he had captured. He didn't know what he had. He said, what is this? I've been sitting on this for months since the fall, and someone said, send it coast to coast. Well, we knew what it was.
Nancy, we're going to have you channel a little bit later on tonight.
Yep.
And lately, the world is talking about global warming and huge Earth changes.
Right.
You know, we've all got our own views on why we think this is happening. Some believe it's man-made. Others believe that it's cyclical. What's your take on this, and what are you told?
The Zetas have said it is not man-made. We have had this increase because Planet X is hoved into our inner solar system, and it's here. It's so shrouded in dust, we don't see it like a planet, you know, like Venus, where the sunlight bounces off of it, and it's a real clear. It's like looking into a fog bank because it's so shrouded by that red dust that is of legend, like, you know, Revelation saying, well, the red dust will make the rivers run blood red. So as it comes in, it upsets the equilibrium. There's a lot of particles that flow around in a solar system that we're unaware of. The Zetas say we're aware of maybe only 1 out of 1,000 subatomic particles that they know of that flow around. So in our core has been swirling, and our magnetism has been jerked in different directions. All of this is causes the core to swirl, heating up from the bottom up our ground. Scientists have measured this. The rocks are heating from the bottom up. Permafrost is melting from the bottom up. All those glaciers and the poles melting, that's way outside global warming models.
Well, and as we see what's happening just in the solar system, Nancy, things are heating up as well.
Right.
I want to talk with you about the Mayan calendar date of 2012.
Sure.
I want to get Nancy Leader's take. Later when we channel, we'll get the take of the Zetas as well. This is an ominous date for us. I'm beginning to think, because scientists are now saying 2011, 2012 could be huge solar outbursts.
Right.
Something's happening, Nancy.
Yeah, well, you know what it is. It just so happens that our normal solar cycles, one ends there. We have a maximum in 2011, conveniently, just ahead of 2012. And they've been warning for years that this particular solar cycle was going to be huge. The Zetas have said, other than global warming, they're going to blame the Earth changes on the sun and say, oh, the sun is being hyperactive, and that's what's causing all this. 2006, for instance, was our solar minimum, and yet it acted like a maximum practically. You know, we had all kinds of stuff. So this is an excuse. Now, yes, it does blip around, but the Zetas have said that's like surface ruffles on the sun. Planet X is coming at us from the direction of the sun, standing between us and the sun, and consequently the particle flows that normally flow out from the sun's middle, you know, have to wrap around it and kind of form an eddy flow on either side, which is why we're trapped in front of it. We can't get out of that eddy flow. Well, all that particle flow disruption causes ruffles on the surface of the sun, but it's not really coming from the sun. The disruption in our planet is caused by a rogue planet four times the size of Earth. Van Halen said that it was going to be like five times the size of Earth. But this is what's causing the disruptions, brownouts on occasion, weird atmospheric effects, halos around the sun and the moon, electromagnetic and grabbing at the Earth, you know, a couple times a day, causing jerking around, which shows up on the live seismographs beautifully as a twice a day, every 12 hours, you know, on the Earth, shuddering. This is Planet X doing this to us, and they're blaming the sun and blaming global warming, but it's neither of those. It's Planet X. They don't want you to know about Planet X.
Nancy, you've not been on for a couple of years. Lots of new people have joined the Coast to Coast family. Tell us a little bit about Nancy Leader.
Yes. Well, I was actually a contactee from even before birth, because reincarnation does exist. I volunteered for a role of a communicator, and the Zetas have been working with me in that light, but it was much more successful than they thought. I was maybe supposed to write a book or something, but it really took off. It's become known around the world. I'm being translated into 21 different languages, if you'll notice my website, zetatalk.com. And I was a sleeper until 55 years of age. I mean, I had the scars, I had the missing time, I had all the signs, but apparently I was supposed to be asleep until 55 so I could have a normal life, you know, manager of computer system development and the like, and raise my kids, send them to college, blah, blah. And then, because as soon as I was aware, Zeta Talk began on the chat boards, and that obsessed my life. So I retired early so I could devote my life, and, you know, I'm on Social Security now, and to walk my own talk and move to the Midwest where I have gardens and herbs and chickens, and you know, I'm prepared to, you know, distill my water and have firewood as the only source of heat and light or whatever, or maybe throw up an email.
I envy that sometimes.
I'm walking my talk because San Francisco was sitting on the San Andreas. How could I be taken seriously? You know, warning people to get out of earthquake zones and away from the coast if I was living there. So I left the beautiful coast. Sit still.
A couple years ago when Planet X didn't come by, at least the way I expected it to,
right,
you still contend it's there and it's around. We just didn't see it. But yeah. I basically kept you off the air. And, you know, I'm the kind of person to sit back and go, you know what? Was that a right decision? Was that a wrong decision? But you're back, so that'll tell you one way of my thought pattern. But I wanted to ask you, since the 2 years have gone by, were you bitter about that? How did you feel about that?
Well, actually, that was May 15th, 2003, because from the start of Zeta Talk in 1995, they said the pole shift will happen shortly after May 15th, 2003. And to show you how seriously the White House or the government, and they were aware of Zeta Talk, on May 15th, there was an Operation Planet X in Iraq. They called the largest top-off exercise at that time in the history of this is, they had 100 different agencies, Canadian and U.S., from coast to coast, alerted and doing exercises so that if they had to declare martial law, everybody was already activated, right? The reason the Zetas did that was to drive George Bush and his group into Iraq early, so that they would fall on their sword and fail, which they have. They have, in essence, you know, because their plan of the group that put George Bush into the White House was to sit on all the oil fields of the world. Black gold is going to be the big commodity of the future, or so they think, and therefore they want, I mean, look at the reserves. Iran, Iraq, and Saudi, those are the three of the largest reserves, seriously. And not only do they pump, but they have the proven reserves.
They're even bigger than they had thought, apparently.
Yes. And the idea was to be in a position using the U.S. military, but now the whole thing is degraded because the military's fed up and depleted and wanting to come home, and so it's not going, and everybody else has kind of risen up. China and Russia are pushing, you know, supporting Iran, and the Zetas did that because Planet X did zoom into the solar system in 2003. We had second sun sightings all the time because we were on the opposite side of the sun, and the sunlight was bouncing off that dust cloud toward us. Now the situation is it's between us and the sun, and we can't see it as readily except for that lovely coast-to-coast photo you have provided. Ooh, ooh.
There is a link there, by the way.
That had to be a guided affair. The guy had to be guided to take that photo and go for a walk. You know, a lot of things happen that are unexplained except that angels are guiding this process so that people become aware. And it creeps past the sun very slowly, but now it's on its outward bound path, and we're like deer in the headlights. We can't get out of the way. So they did this false state. Was I devastated? You betcha. I mean, I just didn't know. I was like, catatonic for a week or so, just went on long walks in the woods, but then when they came out and explained what they had done, and I was explaining to people, the fan club just kept coming in and asking for clarification. In the meantime, now Zeta predictions one after the other have come true. Things that were made in '95, late '90s, etc. The weather.
Let's talk about some of those more when we come back, Nancy. Nancy Leader, her website zetatalk.com. We'll be back in a moment. We'll talk about some of these predictions a little bit later on. I shall talk to the Zetas through Nancy. And when we return, we'll talk with Nancy Leader. We'll have her channel the Zetas because we've got some incredible questions about the future of all of our existences here on this planet Earth. Back in a moment. Nancy, your past predictions are for the world to see. You've had them posted on your website. We've had some on ours over the years. Mm-hmm. Let's review them, if you would. Tell us a little bit about some of them.
Yeah, there's so many, actually, that I lose track. But some of the biggies are today's weather. Now, in 1995, when Zeta Talk began, the Zeta said we're going to have more drought and deluge, and that will switch about for no apparent reason. Areas used to a lot of rain will become droughty and vice versa, you know. And this has become a trend. They also said that we would have temperature extremes, not outside what the Earth experiences today, but, well, certainly this last spring has been like that. We had an 80-degree day in March, and now the 8 inches of snow 2 weeks later here in Wisconsin. They said that storms would be no more fierce than before. In other words, we wouldn't get more than a Category 5 hurricane, nor tornadoes, because the atmosphere acts as a brake on just how fast wind can go. But they would appear in atypical places, and that appeared after they made that prediction. Nobody else was making these predictions in 1995, and boy, did I get scoffed at. But no one is saying, my debunking crowd, the weather is perfectly normal. You don't hear that so much anymore. But that's one. Another one that is more geographically related, 9 months before the December 26, 2004 Sumatra tsunami quake, that biggie, 9.5, they said that we were going to have an earth torque, where the Earth was going to kind of open up.
2005, I think. Right?
Was it? No, it was December 26, 2004. That was just ahead of 2000.
Was it? Okay.
Yes, it was.
All right.
Anyway, in May of 2004, they said, like a jar of pickles, put your hand on the North Pole, turn it to the right, put your hand on the South Pole, pull it back to the left, like you're going to open a jar. That's what's going to happen to the Earth, and that will ease pressure on the west coast of the Americas, because that will continue to go along with rotation and not be pulled back, where along the rest of the Ring of Fire, they'll be like a pileup. Well, that's been showing up ever since that 9 months later then when they had that Sumatra thing. The IRIS charts show that. The west coast of the Americas would be quake-free, and people would say, what happened to the west coast quakes? The rest of the Ring of Fire is just, you know, splatted with these quakes. I thought that a very dramatic example that IRIS is proving a Zeta Talk accuracy. But there's too many incidences to even mention.
Nancy, the Zetas, are they still out there? Are they circling the planet here? Where are they?
Yeah, they can shift into another dimension like all aliens can. They can switch over into what they call fourth density, and where they say we're in third density. What this amounts to is that our atoms vibrate at a different frequency. So they can be standing right next to you, vibrating faster, so your eyes can't perceive them. But souls can always communicate. The chatting soul to soul happens across dimensions. But for telepathic conversations, because my brain is in third dimension, they're in third density. They're in third density. They can be in a spaceship overhead or a long ways away. They form teams to get ready for questions such as you're getting ready to ask.
Okay.
And depending on the audience, depending on the nature of the questions, and they kind of do this in their spare time while they're doing their other tasks.
I will remember the last time you were on with me and you were channeling, and some guy called, and he wanted to know what he would look like in the future.
Yeah.
And the Zetas said, an ugly old woman.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I have never laughed so hard in all my life. It's just...
Don't ask if you don't want to know.
Well, that is true. They are finding, and we led into you with another discovery of another planet outside of our solar system, way outside, 1,500 light years away.
Right.
We're finding more and more of these. Now, I'll probably ask the Zetas this, but in your opinion, do you think this universe is teeming with intelligent life?
Oh, no question. And I've met so many of them. I was given an orientation after I realized that I was a contactee back there in the early 1990s. And they started out with hominoid types, you know, some with very thick skin that almost looked like a turtle's shell to protect from the sun. You know, some very little or skinny or little green men was one of them, a little short, have a nice day kind of green man. And then they moved to weirder types, you know, reptilian or some that didn't even have, one was like a huge amoeba on the floor, could have been a big green rug that kind of, and an octopus or, so they and a bug, an intelligent bug, which I had a hard time with because it looked like a gigantic cockroach. When it stood up on its rear feet, it was as big as me. So, and beanbag man that looked like a beanbag, fringed by little claws and big eyes on the middle. And it said that it ate bugs, that ran over it, and it didn't need legs because the planet it came from was hothouse, swarming with bugs, and it could just grab them. So I've met a number of these, and the Zetas say, you can't imagine. They couldn't even give a number that we could fathom. Most planets are water planets, therefore fish, jellyfish, octopi, or whatever. I mean, and actually, the aliens that are laying crop circles are water babies, and those ships are filled with water, and this is how they can serve, or this is how they can participate in the transformation our world is undergoing, the spiritual transformation. When Jesus said, 1,000 years of peace, I will return, he was talking about the process that we're undergoing now, where the good-hearted can reincarnate back, and the bad guys get hauled off when they die to the prison planets. And therefore, it's called a transformation, spiritual transformation. It's going to be a great place in about 100 years, but first we got to go through some rock and roll and a pole shift.
I sometimes wonder if we are indeed the prison planet, Nancy.
Oh, no, it's mixed. It's actually this... Our Earth has been what they call base, you know, the base planet where souls are sparked. So baby souls are born on this Earth and go through their first steps. And for whatever reason, the rules are that it is a self-learning experience. We get counseling. Aliens can come and counsel us. And like the little devil on one shoulder and the angel on another, you know, you have both voices available to you. If you give a call and you're being selfish or you want to hurt somebody else, you got a little devil coming to talk to you. If you're worried about, you know, helping someone else, you know, how can you help your neighbor? Boom, you got a little angel counseling you. It's called The Call on the Zeta Talk website. And if you go in and read that, there's a lot of examples of how that works and how you can differentiate. But it's like putting the kiddies in the playpen and letting them bonk each other over the head and sort it out. You know, you learn empathy. You know, we're not supposed to be beautiful people and have a wonderful, trouble-free life. No spiritual development happens in that environment. We're supposed to have surprises, troubles, and opportunities to either be a hero or run away and become more selfish and deal with the aftermath. That's our learning experience. So the rules are alien. Aliens cannot rescue us. They can only counsel us.
Next hour, when we take phone calls, people can also ask for the Zetas to respond, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You can switch very quickly from question to question.
Yeah, and what I'll do is I'll preface. I'll say, here's the Zetas, and then I'll say, this is the end of Zeta Talk, to differentiate between Nancy Talk. And by the way, folks, I am a true translator. You know, I'm a participant, and if I have something in my head that's wrong, they have a hard time getting their concept through that veil. So sometimes I will stumble. If I don't understand a topic, if I'm not on the same page and I don't have a background in it, I can really bloop, you know, but mostly they get their point across even when those occasions happen.
Nancy, do you consider yourself to be psychic?
Yeah, they actually, as far as being, that's telepathic. And in my late 20s, they did an operation in my head, added a little Zeta DNA into my brain where the telepathy center is. And after that, at the time, I didn't know I was a contactee. I was a sleeper. But I do remember suddenly being aware that I could kind of anticipate who was calling when the phone rang, that type of thing. And I played games. I asked people on bus stops, I would say, well, think of something. I don't know you. I can't possibly imagine. Just think about it and let me kind of try to guess. I figured I was running around 55%. Well, that's telepathy. And so, yes, I became a little more psychic.
How do you react to people who do not accept what you say, who simply think, you know, Nancy may be on
crackpot.
The other side?
Yeah. Yeah. She's a sweetie, but she's a crackpot. Yeah. Well, I actually try to present the geological evidence that pole shifts happen periodically, and all the evidence, you know, that a Zeta talk is something more than Nancy talk, because people say she can't possibly be coming up with this, particularly live on the air, that type of thing. You know, and the volume that Zeta talk is. I do live chats on Saturday nights, for instance, just, you know. If they can't deal with the evidence, it's usually because the whole thing frightens them. People are frightened of the alien presence, the idea of some creepy things coming around, and you know, what are the rules? Where's the police force? They feel uneasy. They're all made to feel uneasy by the government. We're told, oh, mass landings, they're going to come down, colonize us. There's some movies along those lines. That's not allowed. There is a police force in the universe that does not allow that. And we're told that because the governments or organized religion, they're a little threatened by the concept of aliens coming around. You notice the church is kind of easing over and saying, well, yes, you know, alien life forms do exist or could exist, that type of thing. And there's so many mass sightings these days that the governments are having to admit. France came out with disclosure, you know,
right,
releasing all their UFO files. And so we're it's being forced in that direction. But nevertheless, people are uneasy, but mostly they're uneasy about the pole shift message. If you don't have a solution for how, if you can't go to the country, you can't garden, you can't, the idea of kicking over a log and looking, hunting for grubs to eat, you know, like a bear, you know, to keep yourself from starving, if that's beyond what you can deal with, you say denial. The wife who finds lipstick on her husband's collar and she can't deal with a divorce, she says, oh, she didn't see a thing. Mm-hmm. If the doctor says you have cancer and the man can't deal with it, he says, no, I don't. You know, so denial is a way out, and people who can't deal with it, who are frightened by it and don't feel, and therefore, the more we can talk about what people can do, what steps they can take to save themselves, what signs to look for, when to take action, like maybe you can't leave the coast, but we're going to have like 3 days of darkness and the earth slowing to a stop and in rotation for a week. These things are obvious signs no one's going to miss, and when that happens, here's what you do, because forget paying taxes, forget, you know, the mortgage or whatever. It's not going to happen, you know, head for the hills.
When do you think that could occur?
Well, the Zetas are not giving the time. Apparently, they are not actually allowed, nor are any other alien races allowed to name the date. They just are allowed to give a series of signs. And they said before the 3 days of darkness, we're going to actually lean to the left, you know, our north pole away from planet X, which is a little to the right of the sun. So we'll lean in the other direction. And also, an Earth wobble has developed, which is becoming more erratic. Recently, for instance, many people are saying, the sun is too far north when it rises and sets. And this is something you can measure. I mean, people who have never heard of Zeta Talk or Planet X are posting on message boards saying, criminy, I've been driving, you know, to work the same job for 30 years, and the sun at this time of day always, and blah, 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 and it's way over there. And then all kinds of people chirp in from all over the world saying, me too. And this kind of anecdotal evidence, they don't get out there, you know, with sextants or whatever measures the azimuth and altitude, but they know where the sun comes up, and they're saying it's as far north as midsummer and even further north. So this is something you can check, folks, and if you've been noticing this, go to the Zeta Talk website. You get a lot of support.
Let's go into the Zeta talk mode, if we can, Nancy, for a few questions before we take listener calls with you in the Zetas next hour.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yep.
To the Zetas, in 1961, the Barney and Betty Hill abduction case, in which they claimed they were abducted by extraterrestrials under hypnosis, and that they claim came from the Zeta Reticuli star system. What can you tell us about that episode?
Here's the status on that. We have stated that this was a true report. They were not ourselves, the Zetas that are visiting Nancy, but a different species of Zeta, of which there are 127 different species, worlds, that within Zeta Reticuli that carried hominoids who were planted and genetically engineered as Homo sapien was. This was indeed a way of demonstrating to the public. We trusted Betty to deliver a very clear, concise message, which she did, not muddy it, and remember it true and be able to draw the picture. And through another of our contactees in Minnesota, a woman who understood star systems and recognized the Zeta Reticuli constellation, this became famous. It is, in fact, how we got the name Zeta. So indeed, this was a series of contactees willing to help in the awakening process. And more were involved than just these two women in this awakening scenario. End of Zeta talk. Ah, so they had support. Perhaps the doctor doing hypnosis, perhaps he was a contactee too. You know, you'd be surprised how many people are.
What do you look like, Zetas?
Okay, this is the Zetas again. We have very thin bodies in terms of what you're used to, your pudgy, soft skin. We, in fact, don't appear to breathe, but that's because our lungs act like bellows, one filling while the other empties. Have no longer require food, having genetically engineered ourselves to be able to absorb nutrients in our spas, and this has nothing to do with cutting up bodies and creating vats. We obviously create our nutrients in the laboratory and soak in clear water. And we have huge eyes because our suns were dim. In fact, our worlds go around stars, dim stars that you don't even see. You don't even account for in the Zeta Reticuli constellation. Those are the bright stars. So our eyes are huge, like your night vision animals. We have great strength in our bone structure, which is heavier than yours, because most of our worlds had heavier gravity, and therefore, as Nancy will report, she has seen us bound up 15 feet with just a little flick of our ankles as though we were skipping rope. And we have our thumbs are more embedded into the palms, so that some people think we have no thumbs, but we do. Very hard fingernails and also thicker skin. We appear gray in color to you, but only because your eyes cannot deal with the color. We see more colors than you do, and actually Homo sapiens has a limited color vision. And end of Zeta talk on that.
Describe your craft for us.
Here's the Zetas. We have a number of craft. Our motherships are monstrous and are hover overhead where you cannot view them because we bend light rays around them, so you think you're seeing the cloud on the other side of the mothership, or we hide within clouds. We have a series of smaller craft. Some are operational to carry perhaps 30 of ourselves or humans. And these are the type of craft where if we are picking people up to meet, and we do act as a coordinator among contactees, they'll be meeting on this craft, and there may be 20 or a dozen contactees in the center of this craft. Generally, the center room is open for activities. And we also have a small shuttles, which are indeed just, to get two or three people or aliens, or Zetas ourselves from one spot to another, perhaps pick up a contactee and bring them to a spot in an open meadow for a larger meeting. And then we have various utility ships which can pick up heavy objects on Earth and move them or put them into fourth density so that they seem to disappear and move them to another part of your solar system or the universe. We indeed are setting up housekeeping around your solar system and on Earth in fourth density where you can't see us, or when shielded, you know, by a camouflage of some sort where you think you're looking at the desert, but in fact we have a city there, because we are getting ready for the coming times when good-hearted people are being saved, because they are going to be the future residents of the Earth and protected from the pole shift.
All right, well, stay with us. We'll be back with Nancy Leader in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast. And yes, she'll continue to channel the Zetas. I've got a few Zeta questions, and I'm sure you do too. So when you do call, you can talk with either Nancy or the Zetas. You just tell her who you want to talk to. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.